And welcome in, everybody. A happy Monday to you. Welcome into Gwen and Chris. Getting underway another week here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Chris Ello at the Odyssey Palace Studios here in San Diego. Tony Gwynn Jr. in one of my favorite cities on this planet, Chicago, that toddling town where tonight the Padres begin a three-game series with the Chicago Cubs. Matt Scraby alongside as well. Short show today. Padres and Cubs get underway at 4:30 this afternoon, so we'll have our pregame show about 90 minutes from right now. But until then, chance to talk, chat a little bit with all of you out there. And Tony, let's leave yesterday aside for the moment. All in all, a good weekend for the Padres, not the least of which was highlighted by the acquisition of Luis Arraez, who delivered immediately upon arrival.
Man, I mean, can you have a better debut? I think not. I mean, everything that everybody has said about him, it was nice, at least for the first day, right, to come up and show everybody exactly what everybody else has been talking about, which is different from the Soto trade immediately, which was different from the Clevenger trade immediately, which, you know, some of those took a little bit of time before you started to see what everybody was talking about. You got to see it on the first day, and I'm sure that just raised everybody's excitement level. I know I had goosebumps watching them put on that performance the first day, just because of the style in which he's doing it. It was impressive, to say the least. It was impressive, and you know, I think the team got better in this move. I really do.
Yeah, I do too. We'll talk about the trade itself here in a little bit, but you know, I couldn't help but think of you and think of me, and how many times you and I over the last couple of years have talked about our love for Luis Arraez, not because he was a potential trade acquisition, but just because we love to watch this guy hit. He is so different from everything else that is in Major League Baseball in this day and age. He wants to put the bat on the ball. He wants to hit line drives. He wants to spray it all over the field. I find it to be incredibly refreshing in this day of analytics that there's still somebody out there who seems to care a little bit about their batting average. And I remember the very first time I heard of Luis Arraez. You brought him up on this show. It was a couple years ago. The Twins and Padres were playing, and somebody you knew said, "Hey, Tony, I'm curious for you to watch this guy bat, Luis Arraez, because he looks a little bit like your dad." And I think your response at the time was, "Who's Luis Arraez?" You know, you'd never even heard of him. And, you know, now from there to here, now he's our guy. He's a Padre, and we get to watch him every day.
Yeah, man. It is, you know, 2-3 years ago, I hadn't heard of Luis Arraez.
Right.
And all of a sudden, I get a text. I can't remember who it was in Minnesota. Somebody who had seen a lot of him.
Yeah.
Had kind of tipped me off. So I went into that series watching for that, and you know, I saw a lot of similarities. It just, those type of things stand out, and especially in today's game where there really isn't anybody out there who approaches hitting that way. You know, there's an element to everybody that is, I think, maybe, you know, I take that back. Maybe Freddie Freeman's another one that I think approaches hitting. He just has a little bit more thump to him. But there's really those two guys. When I think of guys who think about hitting in that way, it's probably those two guys. And for him now to be on the Padres after, you know, I think he came into the national kind of view when he's chasing 400 last year.
Yeah.
And that was really the first time people, I think, outside of the places he was playing, Minnesota first and then Miami, started to really like look in on like what is going on here. This guy is doing, you know, we're having the conversation here in what was that, June?
Yeah.
At the time last year, we're having this conversation, and it's like we haven't had this conversation in quite some time. And in San Diego especially, that, you know, usually revolve, that conversation usually revolved around my dad. So it was very, it was cool that the Padres made the move. And then it was extra cool to see him come out first day and put on a show, basically.
Oh, no kidding. He put on quite the show Saturday, four hits in his first four at-bats. Had another hit yesterday, so he's started off his Padre career 5-for-11. Nothing wrong with that. Those are numbers that we can get behind here. You know, the other thing, here's the thing, and I like a phrase that you use a lot, and that is that both things can be true. And in this case, I'm referring to comparisons of Luis Arraez to your dad. There are those who say, yes, you can make a little bit of a comparison because he hits like your dad did. He sprays the ball all over the field, hits line drives, etc. And then there's those who say, it's absolutely blasphemous for anybody to be compared to Tony Gwynn. And I think that's fair. I think you can say both with Luis Arraez. I don't mind a comparison to your dad. But at the same time, I'm going to reserve a special level of success for what your pops did.
Listen, I had somebody who I consider a friend, very respected, reach out to me about this very same thing.
Yeah.
Just kind of trying to fill me out on how I felt about it. And, you know, one of the many things I loved about my pops was that he wasn't a hater, man. Like, as he got older and the game was changing, he wasn't one of those cats that was out there like, get off my lawn, or, you know, these guys shouldn't be doing this or they shouldn't be doing that. Like, he just kind of embraced it all. And so I say that to say, I think if my dad was around today, he would appreciate it and enjoy watching a guy like Luis, right? I think Luis was asked, you know, in an interview I saw before the deal went down. He was saying how the two guys that he, if he could have a conversation with, would be my pops and Rod Carew. And Rod Carew was, to my dad, was, you know, that was one of his guys. And so I just think there would be, I understand people's initial reaction to be like, blasphemy.
Yeah.
Right? Like, no, don't do that. But I would say it's not as though he is out there claiming these things. These are just comparison. And really, what else could you compare him to, honestly? Is there anything?
You're not going to compare him to Gorman Thomas or to,
right. Or even in today's game, is there somebody in the last 15 years that you could compare him to? Last 20 years that
can't
you
think
compare
of too many.
To?
No.
There aren't any. So I think it's a natural comparison, especially now that he's wearing a Padre uniform.
Yeah.
It's only natural that people are going to go that route. Now, listen, I think ultimately the next 5 years, 10 years, when my dad played 20 out, this is his sixth season, I think. The next, you know, 14 years will determine how we move the conversation forward. But for now, I don't see a problem with it. You know, their numbers, when you put them side by side, from a strictly a hitting standpoint, I want to make that clear.
They're almost identical. Isn't that crazy?
They're almost identical.
Yeah.
You know, my dad did a lot of things on the other side of the ball that make him a separator. But in terms of just hitting, I don't think it's unfair to have it. Now, it may be unfair to Luis.
Right. It's a lot of pressure.
Putting all of that on him. But I personally don't get offended when I hear the comparison, because it's fair. It'd be different if the numbers were not close or there was some discrepancies. When you put them side by side, first five years, they look very similar.
They do. Now, and to me, anything that brings your dad back into light is a good thing for baseball. So I have no problem with it. I don't think anybody out there is going to be surprised to hear, or, you know, can't tell that we're excited, both Tony and I, with the acquisition of Luis Arraez. I guess the question then arises, was the trade good? The Padres did have to give up four prospects in order to get him. Couple of them. Nathan Mottarella had a nice little spring there. Dylan Head has done some things. Obviously, Jacob Marcy was the player of the year in the Arizona Fall League. So, you know, you parted with something to get this guy, but I like what A.J. Preller said, and that is, You know, we owe it to our fans to try to win
exactly.
now.
Exactly.
We have this ball club in place. There's nothing, no reason for us to wait around. And why even wait for the trade deadline? Let's get Luis Arraez for 5 months instead of three. So, yes, if one of these prospects goes to the Marlins and breaks out and has a great career, okay, fine. But hopefully, while that is happening, Luis Arraez is having a great career for the Padres. I don't have any issues with this move.
No, I don't. I don't think it's that much of a conversation, quite frankly, because when I sit back and I think about it, right? The folks in San Diego have endured a lot in terms of, you know, the product that was out in front of them. Right. And they took the one thing I've always said that was so good that Peter and Ron did at the time, Ron Fowler and Peter Seiler did at the time, was they were very honest about what was about to happen as they took over. Right. Basically said, we're going to strip this thing down. We're going to build it up. It's going to take a certain amount of years. And that was the best move they made because that gave people you know, the expectations were like, all right, we're going to sit back and wait. That was what, 5-6 years before it started to take, somewhere around that time.
Yeah.
And we got to experience some winning. I would say that it is too early at this point to then go the other way, right? Because if you're not trying to win it, are we just sitting in the mid area right here? Is that what it is? And so yeah, I think this is a no-brainer. You get a dude that you get for 5 months this year, another year next year, before you have to make any decisions. Not to mention, the Marlins are going to pay for majority of the contract for the rest of this year, right? You give up three guys. All right, let's talk about it. Marcy, I think he's impressed, obviously, during the fall league. But when you watched him play, let's project out, what kind of impact was he going to have on the current roster that is out there now, right? You got Jackson in center. You got Profar in left. You got Tatis and right. Where was that going to work out?
Right.
And even if he came up and played left field, let's say Prof got cold all of a sudden, is his impact going to be that much more than what Profar has done to begin the season?
Doubt it.
I don't think so. And then so you go to Martorella, who was, I thought, a terrific hitter. I enjoyed watching that young man swing the bat. But where was he going to play? You going to bring him up to DH? Like, and those guys probably weren't going to be ready until next year at the earliest. Dylan Head, I think, is probably the most talented of the three.
Right.
He's still 3-4 years away.
Yeah.
So if the timeline just, it makes sense from a timeline standpoint if you're trying to win now.
Oh, you know me, Tony. I always like to win now, and prospects are just that, prospects. We'll see how these guys develop. There's probably a C.J. Abrams in there somewhere waiting to happen. But in the meantime, in the meantime, we're getting, you know, Luis Arraez now. And, yeah, you know, we get him for the next several years. So I think it was a no-brainer, too. The Padres needed to fill that spot. So,
and with all due respect to the likes of, like, an Adam Frazier, who we got, who was leading the league in batting when the Padres acquired him.
Right.
Arraez has been doing this every year. He's a lifetime 324 hitter.
Mm.
Lifetime. So
nice.
that you know, we talked, the thing that people loved about my dad was the consistency. You knew what you were going to get. This is the closest thing in the league that you have to that, outside of Freddie Freeman.
Can't wait to watch this guy on a daily basis starting tonight in Chicago. Tony, got a few minutes here in our first segment to underscore the fact that Luis Arraez does not pitch. He's not a starter. And in that vein, the starting pitching continues to carry this team. You know, you had four really good starts in a row. And guess what?
Yep.
You won four games in a row. And then all of a sudden, you had a bad start. And Matt Waldron didn't have it. Look, everybody wants to, you know, that's it for the Matt Waldron experiment. Come on, that's ridiculous.
I saw that.
That's
crazy.
He had a really lousy day. There's no question about it. Did not give his team a chance to win that ball game. But, again, the starting pitching is going to be crucial. Joe Musgrove goes on the, you know, the injured list here. It's going to be up to Darvish. It's going to be up to Cease, Michael King. These three guys are going to have to pick it up here over the next few weeks until, you know, No-No Joe gets back. And we'll watch the starting pitching because the Padres are going to go as far as it takes them.
I can't really say much different. I think that's exactly right. For all the good news that it was with Luis coming over here, it wouldn't be a Padre way if we didn't have some type of bad news to throw on top of it, right? But
sure.
But I think you described it right. I mean, and I said it 2 weeks ago. The Padres are going to go as their pitching and defense goes. We go back to that week, that LA-Milwaukee road trip, went terrific, good starting pitching. The week after at home, bad starting pitching. And then we got through that round, and now we were this was the next go-round, 4-1. You had four good starts, you had one bad start.
Yep.
Now, the part that I think that you hit on that I think is very important is with Joe going on the IL, that does mean Darv's got to pitch well. He's got to do his thing. That also means Cease has to continue to do his thing. And Michael King is going to have to pitch like he did that last start. Like, when somebody goes down and your team is dependent on it, those three guys, they got to basically be short things, right? Because you're missing one of the supposed short things that you have,
yeah.
Right? Or at least you feel good about what's going to happen at the end of that start. And so now those three are going to be the highlight, basically, is Joe tries to get himself back healthy again.
Yeah, I tweeted it out today, so for those who didn't see it, but Padres, in their 18 wins this year, starting pitching, 2.90 ERA. In their 19 losses, starting pitching, 6.20 ERA. As I wrote in the tweet, gee, I think I have it all figured out. We just need the good starting pitching, and we will win. Hopefully they'll get it tonight from Darvish. We are underway, like I said, a short get-together today. Tony will be in and out. He's got to get ready for the broadcast. Padres and Cubs, Darvish on the mound, start of a key three-game series. We'll be here for about the next 75 minutes or so, talking with you up until the Padre pregame show. Chris Sello, Tony Gwynn Jr., Scraby's here somewhere. We'll dig him out of the corner and get him involved as we roll along here on San Diego's number one sports talk station, 97.3 The Fan. Seemed like
that was very half
a rather abridged version of the lineup intro.
Let me do this again. Chris even prepared me for this, so this is my problem.
There we go. Now we're ready for baseball. Welcome back into Gwynn and Chris. Tony in Chicago at Wrigley Field. We're about an hour from now. Not an hour from now. A couple hours from now, the Padres and Cubs will get started, but Sammy Levitt will have the pregame show about an hour from right now. So it's Chris, it's Scraby over there, who did not even duck in a hello in the opening segment.
We welcome you to the
proceeding, sir. We will hear plenty of Scraby in our next segment because he has put together, with the help of listeners, a Padres Pen Pals which focuses on potential Padres conspiracies.
Yes.
Scraby could not be more excited for this next segment. It follows in a few minutes. But first, our lineup for today. And let's just point out the most obvious thing in this lineup today. Manny Machado's not in it. Padres going with Luis Arraez in the designated hitter spot today. But guess who's playing third base today? How about Donovan Solano? Huh? Donovan Solano makes his Padre debut today at third base. I believe it's his debut. He didn't get in yesterday, did he?
No.
Yeah, so it's his debut. Arraez will be the DH. You know, we talked all about Arraez in the first segment, Tony and I, and we both love him. And I'm not going to change my opinion. I just think I just love to watch this guy. I mean, there's not a lot of guys who, like, I run in from the other room to watch hit. But he's one of them, and so I'm looking forward to having him on our squad.
Yes.
But that said, and I don't want to have one day rate the entire thing, he's not a gold glove defender. He just isn't.
No.
And, you know, there was some balls at second base yesterday that might have helped Matt Waldron out a little bit on a day when Matt Waldron could use some help. Rise didn't get to. But anyway, hopefully he'll play DH most of the time.
Yeah, he's not.
Is my best way to say that.
They didn't trade for him to be an everyday fielder.
No, and they don't really have room for him. So, DH, and I'm fine with that. Fernando's in right field. Jake's at first. Profar's moving up into the cleanup spot tonight. His season continues to be amazing, right? Even after 1-for-4 yesterday, he's .344. Hit another home run. What was it, Saturday night?
They all blend together. Those did.
They put a bunch of runs up there. Profar, my goodness, he continues to be amazing. Bogaerts is back in there at second base. Solano makes his Padre debut, batting sixth. Ha-Seong Kim at short. Luis Camposano and Jackson Merrill. That's the nine for the Padres today. I've already had a couple of conspiracy theorists thinking Manny's shoulder is hurting.
Or elbow.
His elbow's hurt now. Let's just take it at face value. They're giving him a day off.
Tony just texted us saying that the manager is going to speak in like 15 minutes, so he'll let us know.
If there is anything, then we'll hear about it from Mike Shildt. It is a little curious that Manny's out of there on a day when a left-handed pitcher's starting. But Solano also bats right-handed, so to make his debut against a lefty, maybe that's not surprising. Darvish, Justin Steele, after some injury problems early in the year, makes a start for Chicago tonight. I mentioned in the open with Tony the starting pitching and just how, the Padres, it's so obvious. If the Padres get a good start, they win. If they get a bad start, they lose. It's almost as simple as that.
Seems to be.
I mentioned the 2.90 in the winning games, 6.20 in the losing game. That's more than twice as bad. And if you look at it another way, the Padres, in their 18 wins, have had 11 quality starts. So most of the games have had quality starts, six innings, three or fewer runs. In their 19 losses, they've had three. That's it. The only really good game that was pitched this year that I remember that they lost
was the Michael King game.
Yep. When he went 7 2/3 innings, had a no-hitter for a while, gave up the hit in the eighth inning, and then the Brewers end up winning 1-0. Other than that, they haven't wasted too many good pitching performances. They've just been bad when they've lost.
To me, you
can put that all on the starting pitching, but to me, part of it is also on your offense. Everybody wants to, that's it for Matt Waldron. I can tell you right now, it's not going to be it for Matt Waldron. One bad start doesn't knock you out of the rotation, and it was bad. But every now and again, your starter's got to give up five or six runs. Your offense got to help you out a little bit.
He's got a 7.8 ERA over the last four. He has a 3.09 batting average against a .915 OPS. Mm-hmm. He has gone at least six innings in two of the past four.
Well, let me ask you this: who are you going to put in his spot, Randy Vasquez?
That's the thing. No.
I mean, Vasquez is already in Joe Musgrove. Randy Vasquez has already been called up to be in Joe Musgrove's spot.
Yeah,
and he hasn't exactly pitched lights out in either of his two starts.
No, he has not.
So unless you're going to go with somebody completely unproven that you totally don't know, bring them up from the leagues. And I know all of you prospect lovers out there have a list of like 10 guys that would automatically be better than Matt Waldron. The only problem is you truly don't know that.
You don't.
So,
the problem with Matt Waldron is he gets in trouble with the knuckleball, and then he can't get himself out of trouble with the knuckleball.
Well, knuckleballers are crazy. If they don't...
If
the knuckleball is not in the strike zone and hitters can lay off, then they can crush fastballs.
But then they know... Yeah, exactly. They know exactly what's going to come.
That's the life and times of a knuckleball pitcher. But, I just don't know. If you had a better option, I'd say go with it.
There's no better option.
I don't know a better option right now. But here's something to underscore why you might want to make a change. The Padres are 17-11 this year when their number one, two, three, or four starter starts. 17-11, that's a pretty solid record.
Yes, it is.
With Waldron or Vasquez, they're 1-8. And again, I can't blame that all on Waldron and all on Vasquez. you've got to score some runs sometimes to help your number five and fill in starters out. That's just part of, you know, a team. A good team does those things.
Joseph says on the chat, as a number five starter, he has had three good starts under a 2 ERA and 4 bad starts. It's just when he is bad, he is bad.
He's been bad. And, you know, we'll see if the Padres, you know, if they make a change there or not. I don't think it's going to happen, not with Joe Musgrove going on the injured list. All right, when we come back, conspiracies abound about A.J. Preller,
yes,
about the Padres,
Fernando,
about the future of this baseball franchise. Tony rejoins me. We'll either rebunk some of these things, or we will buy into Scraby's conspiracies. Ooh. And your conspiracies. A special edition of Padres Pen Pals follows. All right, welcome back to the proceedings. 2:37 is the time. Got a couple of tickets to give away to see the San Diego Legion play a little rugby against the defending champion New England Free Jacks. Bet you didn't know I knew that.
It's written on your paper.
It is not.
It's not?
No.
Oh, wow.
It is not, but I remember the Legion playing the Free Jacks for the rugby championship last year.
And look at you.
Coming up a tad short.
Look at you.
Snapdragon Stadium, May 19th. Tickets on sale now at sdlegion.com, or you can win a pair. Stay tuned. We'll let you in on that in just a little bit. But right now, things are going to get weird. Things are going to get eerie. Things are going to get a little strange. You may have even entered into the Twilight Zone because it is today's special edition of Padre Pen Pals.
It's time to ask the experts, Padres fans.
I was hoping maybe you can bring a little insight into it.
Write us, tweet us, Facebook us, send a carrier pigeon for Chris. He thinks they're cute. Aww. Padres Pen Pals begins.
Hurt the pelota big time.
Now on 97.3 The Fan.
All right. So this is going to be a little bit different today. We've done this once before. It was actually one of Chris's favorite segments we've ever done on the show, and it's a conspiracy theory editions of the Padres Pen Pals.
Did the Padres acquire an extraterrestrial while I wasn't paying attention?
No, not an extraterrestrial. Well, we actually don't know that.
That's
Chris.
Good.
Oh, you love that stuff.
We don't know that.
He loves that stuff.
So I'm basically just going to read the conspiracy.
Yes, they could have an extraterrestrial on the roster right now, and we just don't know it.
That's true. I mean, Fernando levitated that one day. You never know, Chris.
Okay,
so I'm going to read it, and you guys say whether or not you think this is a dumb conspiracy or if the conspiracy has legs to it. So let's start with this one. I gotta get my music going.
Was it a harp?
Alien music. A.J. Preller only acquired these big-name players to cover up his inability to develop players from within. This is why he is so quick to turn prospects into trades. He wants people to pay attention to something else. Outside of Jackson Merrill, what have the Padres done in the way of developing prospects? Oh, you can't think of any? That's because a shiny new object was brought to the team by the name of Luis Arraez, and your attention has been diverted. My conspiracy is that A.J. Preller continues to trade away the future in order to misdirect our attention on the lack of development in the minor leagues.
All right.
Chris?
Yes? Would you like me to...
Are you behind this, or are you going to debunk it?
Oh, of course I'm not behind this. This is idiotic. let me explain why it's idiotic.
Please do.
If A.J. Preller was unable to draft talented players and at least somewhat... bring them along, he wouldn't have any cachet to go out and acquire the likes of Luis Arraez, right? Who would be interested in any of these prospects if all of them were no good? So, I mean, the teams that the Padres keep trading these guys to obviously agree with the fact that these guys have some ability, or they wouldn't be offering them up in the first place. You want to give the Washington Nationals all of the credit for developing C.J. Abrams? Yeah, I guess you can go ahead and do that, but he was a Padre before anything else, and it was his ability to have potential that enticed the Nationals enough to be able to give up Juan Soto. It is the potential ability of Dylan Head and Jacob Marcy and Motorola and others that have given them the ability to get Luis Arraez. So this conspiracy is completely without merit.
Tony, what do you think about this conspiracy? Do you think AJ Preller continues to trade away the future in order to misdirect our attention on the lack of development in the minor leagues?
Well, if the conspiracy is in fact that AJ is trading young guys to solely direct our...
Divert.
What'd you say?
Divert attention.
Divert the attention from the fact that there has been no development. I think that's false. I think that's I'm going to debunk that because he may be trading young prospects away in order to get better players, which is indeed true. And I would push back on the development thing. I mean, there is Jackson. There is – I know people don't want to count him, but Adrian Mordejon is a homegrown player. I mean, you got one in the rotation in Matt Waldron. As well, you got a Eggy Rosario, who unfortunately just was sit down, but was doing well here at the big league level in the role that he has. So, I mean, if you're saying we haven't developed any superstars, no, he hasn't developed any superstars as of yet, but there's been some development. Now, the Padres haven't had the type of development that, you know, you could have the majority of your team as homegrown. I think that's a fair analysis, but on the flip side, he's also been able to bring some really good players in here that, you know, I think in the moment are the obvious deal to make.
How many teams in baseball right now are full of only homegrown, developed, talented players? I mean, let's just compare.
I don't think any of them are.
Yeah, let's compare to the Dodgers right off the bat. I mean, the Dodger superstars, Betts, Freeman, Shohei, Teoscar Hernandez,
came from elsewhere.
Uh-huh. They all came from elsewhere. Yep. I know they, you know, they developed Kershaw, you know, 100 years ago. James Outman had
one in a million, though.
James Outman had a great rookie season. He hasn't really, he hasn't backed that up. Even Corbin Carroll in Arizona hasn't backed up his great rookie season. I think the Braves hit it the jackpot with an Acuna, right, and an Albies. But, you know, there's not a lot of teams right now that are solely homegrown. I mean, you basically get young players to acquire great established players. That's what good teams are doing.
Riley
for the Braves.
Yep.
Yeah.
Riley,
I mean,
you got Harris. You got the Dodgers and the Braves do it better than.
Yeah, they probably like, done the best.
Talking about the two best.
Sure.
The two best probably.
Yeah.
Outside of that, I mean, you know, you develop what you have, unless you can use what you have to get better. And that's the route that the Padres have chosen. Now, I do think in order to have sustained success, you're going to have to eventually have some homegrown guys, right? So that it kind of resets you. You don't have to spend as much, you know, otherwise. Or, I mean, this route that the Padres have gone, you know, can work. You know, it has got them in position to win. It's just a different way of going about it.
All right. Lots of discussion about a conspiracy theory that was idiotic, Chris.
Yeah, it was idiotic, but the music was eerie enough to get me thinking along those lines.
Okay, well, we have three more to go, everyone.
It was.
Okay, let's see what we have now.
It's kind of strange how all the guys who got their payday are the ones struggling. I love Joe Musgrove, but he hasn't pitched to the same level. Manny Machado does many things, but he's not clutch. Yu Darvish can't even go a month without a strained neck. And Toddy was suspended and injured. Jake Cronenworth might be the only one living up to it. Actually, Suarez, too. The conspiracy is this. The executives,
is this all in the question?
This is the question. I don't know why I have to talk like this.
Oh, you do with this music.
The executives decided to extend the fan favorites in order to keep season ticket sales up and the sales pitch to the fans that each year brings hope. The organization prioritizes lining their pockets over winning. Tony?
You know what? Let's go back to the old way. How about that? I think that's basically what this question says. Otherwise,
what do you mean?
Anything like, else looks like you're lining Like, let's go back to, like, fire sales.
Yes, okay.
Let's go back to that.
Yes, yes.
Because that ownership wasn't trying to line its pockets at all.
Right.
Only this ownership is trying to line its pockets.
That's a good point. Exactly. That's a good point.
Yeah.
So this is another weak conspiracy put together by whomever.
Yeah, well, I heard it at AA, so.
Yeah, well, that's about where this one figured to be born.
I hope he's not listening because he legitimately believes this. So I'm like, I don't know that I can get behind this
dude. Look, I mean, you know, he's saying that Jake Cronenworth is living up to it. I mean, last year, Jake Cronenworth wouldn't have been on that list, right?
Yeah, that's true. Yes. Well, but this is a new contract for Jake, so.
Last year was the first year. Oh, I see. But it was the pressure.
I don't know that Suarez then qualifies then.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't know that Suarez qualifies. He took a half a season off last year before he, more than half the season off before
That's
he was
true.
Ready to roll.
He was in Mexico vacationing for the first half of the season. I'm just kidding. He was injured. Yeah, and they missed him. They missed him big time. All right.
Listen, the point is, that's ridiculous.
That's ridiculous.
And we still have two more to go.
I know. We might actually, this next one might actually be the most ridiculous of them all.
Oh, my goodness. Yes. I can't wait.
Can't wait.
Why doesn't the team come to Fernando's rescue after a pitcher tries to saw his head off? I think this tells me the team isn't that in on Fernando Tatis Jr. Hmm. No one gets angry. No one gets up and out of the dugout. My conspiracy is this. The team is quiet quitting on Fernando Tatis Jr., Chris.
Quiet quitting is a new phrase to me.
You do your bare minimum work so that you don't get fired.
I get what they're going after here. Mike Shildt, I believe, came out just the other day and said he's getting a little tired of it. About the only thing you can do is knock somebody down on the other side every time. Thank you. Every time the Padres knock somebody down on the other side, nobody seems to pay attention to it. I'm going to just say this about Fernando and the high tight thing with him. Number one, that's how people have to try to pitch him. They have to try to back him off the plate. So he's going to get some inside pitches. Number two, Fernando dives out of the way with a little more flair than most players dive out of the way.
I mean, he doesn't need a matrix?
He truly does. I mean, there's some of these pitches are real close, and it's easy for me to sit here and say I wouldn't get out of the way, and I'm not in that batter's box. But Fernando augments it a little bit. I don't know. I think the Padres do care about each other and have each other's backs. And I don't know. How many times has he actually been hit this year? You know, I think if you plunk him a couple of times, you're going to see some reaction and some retribution for it. But it does stand out whenever there's a high tight pitch to Fernando because he hops out of the way pretty good.
Tony,
but I think the team does care about supporting.
Are they quiet quitting on Fernando?
I think Chris is onto something a little bit in terms of Fernando getting out of the way. Although I will say the one that happened most recently. That was legit. That ball was aiming at his face.
Yeah.
And I thought he honestly concussed himself when he fell. Because I think what it was the helmet kind of flew off and hit the ground before he got to it. But I thought he was like, I thought he hit his back of his head on the ground when he went down.
Mm.
Nonetheless, I say that to say Chris is on to something else too. If he gets actually hit, there will 1,000% be retaliation. Because it's hard to, like, retaliate for something that didn't actually happen, right? Like, it'd be one thing if they threw the ball behind him. They're just running it up and in, and you know, he's had to get out of the way. Now, I'm not cool with anything above the neck, and some of these have been above the neck. But they do have to pitch him in, because if you let Fernando just have free reign of that whole area, you're going to be in trouble. Like, he's going to dominate that series. And so what you see is teams do this often is they run it up high and tight. When Fernando's good, he gets out of the way of those, and then he lays off the soft spin down and away. And once he starts laying off of that, what they do inside won't matter because he's gonna own the rest of that rectangle that you see on your screen. So I do think they got these teams, you know, that understand they got to pitch him in. They do got to do a better job of keeping the ball, you know, around the chest area versus at his head. Like, this is the big leagues. These guys, I don't care how hard they're throwing, they all should be good enough to be able to command that piece. And if not, don't feel no way when the Padres end up throwing something back, because it's going to happen. Now, I could hear it in Mike's voice when he was talking about it the other day.
Yeah.
So, you know, and then when that happens, I don't want to hear anything about, you know, it's archaic and, you know, the pod, you know, this is not how baseball should be played and this. I don't want to hear none of that. Like, it's all fun until you get hit by one of them.
Right now,
yeah,
so.
You're calling for it right now.
That's the interesting thing, though, is when this happens outside of here, everybody's like, you know, you shouldn't be throwing a baseball at somebody. Like, you know how many times we had to have that conversation on this show?
Yeah.
But yet now, you know, our guy is now being put on his rear end a little too much more than we like. And that's going to be the result. So, you know, there's going to have to be some hypocrites that have to just eat it, because the Padres are, I'm telling you, he ain't got hit yet. If he gets hit, it's 100% happening. But I won't be surprised if it don't even take somebody, him getting hit. Like, that's how often it's happening.
I truly believe that Mike Schilt is going to be, he's a guy that I would take into the back alley with me, honestly. He's got a lot of dog in him. And, you know, maybe the bark hasn't, or the bark has exceeded the bite
so
far. I saw
the bark that one time he got kicked out with Jerickson Profar.
When he got kicked out with Profar, he gave you a little idea what he's capable of, and I think teams better beware a little bit.
All right, we need to get.
Yeah, it seemed like he made up some curse words in that.
They had to blur out his mouth on high heat. So
did they really?
So he must have been saying some good stuff.
Good for him.
All right, last and final one. There is something I have noticed about AJ Preller and some of the roster decisions he makes. It goes back to last year when he left Matt Carpenter out of the roster for no reason, in my eyes. This year, the baffling decision to continue to throw Graham Pauly in the fire shows me one thing and one thing only. He wants to prove he's the smartest GM in the league. And by forcing these guys on the team or in the lineup is at the detriment of the team as a whole. My conspiracy is that AJ Preller, in order to prove how smart he is, makes decisions based upon how it looks for him and not for the best of the team.
Okay, so clearly the previous guy and this guy aren't talking, you know, because one guy is pissed because we're sending off prospects elsewhere, and this guy is pissed that we're actually bringing guys up that we've developed
and playing
and
them.
Put them into the line.
Yeah, what are we doing?
You can't win. You just can't win.
Can't.
No, of course. AJ is not making decisions based on it making him look smart.
Are we sure?
Because ultimately, yes. Because ultimately, if he's not winning, his job is going to be determined by that. Now I think this is interesting because oftentimes Chris and I think we just talked about this the other day about, you know, in that case it was coaches not being given like enough time. This has been a time where this organization has been patient, and so. I think it's crazy to think that he is making decisions based on how smart they make him look. Just trying to put together pieces that actually can help win.
Unfortunately, these are thoughts in the real
world. Yeah, no,
well, they can be thoughts, but I mean, you go back to Matt Carpenter. I don't know who else you were going to put in the lineup last year. That was the roster. I mean, you had him or Nelson Cruz, and for a lot of it, Cruz was hurt. As far as Graham Pauly's concerned, I wasn't a big fan of him batting fifth a few days ago. And after that, he hasn't seen the field. So, yeah, I don't know that A.J. Preller is forcing anything on anybody. I mean, they gave the kid an opportunity. He was not able to come through.
As they should. He earned it.
Right? He earned an opportunity. He did not do anything with it. He wasn't forced right back in that spot. He hasn't been out there since. So
he got sent down, as a matter of fact.
Yet another one debunked.
Oh, I don't know that you need to be so rude to our conspiracy theorists out there, Chris.
Debunked.
I love the fact that they're trying, though.
They are really trying, and I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Sometimes, though, I have to tell them. Even for me, that's a little too crazy.
You mean there might have been other ones that didn't make the cut today?
Oh, there was at least two more that were more crazy. Manny was sabotaging his career and all this other stuff.
Okay.
Oh, I'm so glad you didn't bring
that. I will not bring that to the show. All right, Daily Gambit is up next, I believe. So we'll check in on our bets from last week when we get back here on 97.3 The Fan.
First of all, it's good he's been back. He's played back-to-back games. a couple times now at third, and just made sense. We knew he was going to get a full day off at some point in this road trip. And just partnering with him to figure out what that looked like and, you know, listen to his body. And, you know, if he's still, you know, it sounds odd to say because he's been with us every day and taking at bats. But if you look at it from the field perspective and how much he's been on his feet and back-to-backs and the spring training progression for a guy that he's basically in kind of his second weekish in spring training mode. So, we, again, talked about what a day off would look like, and we would just consistently keep the conversation open, and today turned out to be that day.
All right, so Manny Machado, that's why he's not playing tonight. Thank you to Mike Schilt. From him in Chicago at Wrigley Field. You'll hear more about that in Sam Levitt's pregame show at the bottom of this hour. Chris Sello, Matt Scraby together in our Odyssey Palace studios. Tony Gwynn is in Chicago with the Padres. They're taking on the Cubs today. Yes, Manny's not in the lineup tonight. Donovan Solano makes his Padre debut at third base.
To the love of everyone out there. I haven't heard, there's two guys I've heard so much about, and the first one was Joey Gallo, when everybody wanted him to be traded to San Diego, and then Donovan Solano.
Yeah, people are saying he's not Luis Arraez.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
You know, he's all right. He might hit you 280 if you're lucky.
That's pretty good.
It would be fine. We'd take that. You know, I don't know really how and when Donovan Solano is going to play, to be honest with you.
Today,
right. But, you know, I mean, if you're going to give Profar, if you're going to give Manny a day off, then Solano's in. You're going to give Kim a day off, you can work Solano into the lineup that way.
Yeah.
But, you know, Arraez, I don't think you're going to give him too many days off in the DH spot.
No.
Anyway, Donovan Solano makes his Padre debut tonight. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris as we get rolling into the second hour of our program. I got a couple of tickets to give away to the San Diego Legion, New England Free Jacks. Some big-time rugby action on May the 19th. Stick around. You'll get your chance to do that at the end of this segment. Also want to remind everybody, the Padres taking on the Cubs here for three. And then the Dodgers are coming to town. That's this Friday through Sunday. Make sure we all turn out, support the Padres. Don't let any Dodger fans come to the game. Create a true home field advantage. Limited tickets are available for all three Dodger fan games. Only for Dodger fans. Limited tickets available only for Dodger fans.
Sometimes feels that way.
Yeah, right. That's at padres.com/tickets. All right. Dodgers coming in?
We have a Donovan Solano take.
What do we
from
got?
Nate.
What's Nate got?
Predicting that he's going to go 2-for-4 tonight with a double, a homer, and 3 RBIs.
Okay. Nate, if you get that, then we'll check in with Spraby's conspiracy to see what you know that the rest of us do not
know.
Yeah, that's
that would be an incredible debut.
That would be a nice, nice night. But more importantly, Yu Darvish needs to pitch well, because as we've discussed already in the show, the Padres seem to win when they get a good start. They seem to lose when they don't get a good start. So let's see what happens. All right, winners, losers, NBA playoffs. We'll talk a little bit about that and the rest of it in today's Daily Gambit.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwynn and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwynn and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I just looked in our fantasy baseball league. If Donovan Solano is already on a team, he is not, Chris, but he is on waivers.
I don't see much reason to pick up Donovan Solano.
Our league, I figured, would have picked him up on the day that he was
I don't believe he's gonna,
signed to a
I don't think he's going to play enough to be a worthwhile fantasy player.
I get it. All right. Bets we made on Friday. The Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers played. The Magic were 4-point favorites. Both of us chose the Cavs, and we lost. Magic won 103-96. I believe the Cavs closed it out yesterday, right?
Thrilling Game 7. The Cavs were down 18 points in the second quarter of that game yesterday. came back to win by 12. It was the largest fourth or largest comeback victory in the history of NBA Game 7s.
Really?
Overcoming an 18-point deficit. So good for Cleveland.
Wow.
They now get to play the Celtics in the second round.
All right, that's not bad.
First time the Cavaliers, first time the Cavaliers have won a series in over 30 years without LeBron James on their team.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Wow, that is pretty crazy, I gotta say. Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell's all right.
The Dallas Mavericks also played on Friday night. They played the Clippers. They were 8-point favorites in the game. For some reason, I did not write down this score.
Dallas won to take the series, 114-103.
All right, so both of us lost that one, too.
Yes, we did. The Clippers really go out with a whimper. I know that they've got the excuse that Kawhi Leonard was hurt, but I don't know where James Harden was. I don't know where Paul George was. Paul George had, like, one good game in that series. And, you know, it's just the Clippers. They always find a way to make sure they don't get it done. And, you know, for them to just kind of whimper on out of the playoffs, you know, I wasn't expecting that. Maybe if they would have had Kawhi, it would have been a, you know, different story. But it wasn't that they lost. It was how they just kind of quietly went away.
That's the thing with the NBA is that you build these super teams and they get eliminated and you just don't really hear anything about it.
I don't know how many teams are going to go out of their way to get James Harden anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Honestly, I mean, the guy's an MVP or former MVP.
Former.
But everywhere he's gone, the team has whimpered out of the playoffs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's something with him.
Don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
Not a championship
either.
DNA.
We did a bet on who would score more points, Paolo Banchero or Donovan Mitchell on Friday night. And Paolo Banchero had a nice offering of 27 points, but Donovan Mitchell went crazy. We both picked Donovan Mitchell, and we were correct because he had 50 points, 5-0.
He was the first player in NBA regular season or playoff history to score all of his team's points in a quarter when the team scored more than 15 points.
Really?
Ever. It never happened before.
Does that say a lot for him, or does it
They lost the game, so the rest of the guys just completely went away in the fourth quarter. He scored all of their points, and
wow.
It wasn't enough.
That's crazy.
In that particular game.
Then the Braves and the Dodgers played on Friday night. The Braves are -1.5 on the run line. We both chose the Dodgers. Dodgers did win 4-3, and Dodgers swept the Braves over the weekend.
Yes, a statement made by the Dodgers as they sweep away the Braves. I think it's pretty clear, even if it was clear already, that the Padres are playing for a wild card berth. And the Dodgers are just making sure that we are aware of that.
I don't know.
Still think we could win this division?
The Dodgers looked good at times. Like, they've looked really bad at times.
Really?
Well, maybe not really bad, but they've lost some games that they normally win.
They've lost some games. I mean, they've got, you know,
they've
got the second best record in the National League right now.
What is it?
They're 23-13. They're plus 63 run differential. That's the best in all of baseball.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry to tell you, they're doing Dodger things, and Walker Buehler returns to the rotation tonight.
All right. I was trying to make it better than it was, and I can't.
I would love to believe that the Padres have a shot, but they don't. You know, realistically have one.
Yeah, I know.
Sorry.
Well, wild card, here we come.
Yeah.
Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars on Friday night, -1.5 on the puck line. Chris chose the Knights, I chose the Stars, and the Knights won 2-0.
But they were eliminated yesterday,
were.
Vegas Golden Knights. Stars won in Game 7. So there will be a new Stanley Cup champion as the Vegas Golden Knights will have to vacate the throne. They're
right
out of the postseason.
People are saying they love my optimism, but I'm delusional.
Yeah, it's fair to have the optimism. You know, look, the Dodgers are coming in here this weekend for a 3-game series.
They could take it.
The Padres sweep all three.
Yeah, Padres
could. And then you say, hey, but you know, when's the last time the Padres swept three from the Dodgers? I'll tell you when it was.
1982?
Games 2, 3, and 4 of the playoffs.
Oh, there you go.
A few years ago. That's
those
the
are
last
important
time they
ones,
swept
though.
Them. That's right.
Reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt next on 97.3 The Fan. That comes up at 3:40. I have one parlay today, and it's a massive payout. That's why I'm doing it.
It's a doozy?
It's a doozy. +2,400.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I know that that Jake Cronenworth has not been good against lefties this year. But the first leg is that the Padres win on the money line. So Padres, if they don't win, this bet doesn't win.
Okay.
And then I have Luis Arraez getting at least two hits, so over 1.5, which is going to be tough. I mean, he did have four the other day. Mm-hmm. And then one Jake Cronenworth home run in the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is, I told you, the payout is great. I can see these things happening, but all of them happening together is tough.
All right. Well, good luck to you. You don't win too many parlays.
No, but I looked at this one for a long time.
All right. Maybe you'll do better on some of our regular bets. The NBA playoffs round two continues tonight. The Knicks and the Pacers. Game one is in New York, where the Knickerbockers are 5.5-point favorites over Indiana. How do you like this series to start tonight, Scrab?
You know, this is tough because I know nothing about either of these teams, although Jalen Brunson's very good. I'm going to go with the Knicks.
Going to go with the New York Knickerbockers.
You guys have been talking trash about the Pacers all playoffs. So.
Well, I'm not going to talk trash about the Pacers. They did get to the finals of the in-season tournament, but I think they got a little lucky break. Let's be honest. The Bucks didn't have Antetokounmpo and or Lillard for that first round series.
True.
This is a different animal. The Knicks are playing very well. 5.5's a lot because the Knicks play close games, but I'll stick with the Knicks in this one.
Okay.
We've also got game two in Denver, where the Nuggets are 6.5-point favorites over the Timberwolves. Here's a game note for you. People that, you know, keep tabs of such things, Rudy Gobert is questionable for this game tonight. He has, his wife has given birth to their first child.
Oh, good thing I didn't make my...
So the baby boy was delivered this morning. It's uncertain whether Gobert will get to Denver in time for this game tonight.
Get there, Gobert.
Well, you
I'm
know,
just kidding.
It's
I know.
Kinda, you know, it's
a pretty big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. He's a pretty important part of the Timberwolves, but he's not as important as Anthony Edwards. I keep telling you how good this guy is. Game one was yet another vote for the Anthony Edwards stardom train. 43 points to lead the T-Wolves to a Game 1 victory.
I love Kermit.
In Denver.
Love Kermit.
You like, is that what they call him?
Well, in the movie.
Oh, he was Kermit in that movie. Yeah, they call him the Ant-Man now.
Oh, they call him the Ant-Man.
Yeah,
okay.
Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man. A-N-T for Anthony.
Yes,
Ant-Man.
I get it.
All right,
that,
good. Yeah. Anyway, who do you like Game 2? I like Denver this time. I like the T-Wolves overall. But Denver's a defending champion. They have to win game two and even the series. And if Gobert doesn't play, then Jokic runs crazy
out
there.
I'm going to say Ant-Man.
You're going to stick with the Ant-Man.
I'm going to take Ant-Man to the bank.
Ant-Man's been amazing. Yeah. He has really been good. All right, you mentioned Jalen Brunson. You will not believe what his over-under is for tonight's game one for the Knicks.
35.5.
36.5.
Whoa, I was over, I thought.
That is a ton for any player in any NBA game.
That is a lot.
36.5. You going over or under? He's been over 40 in the last three games. This still seems a lot. I don't know if I could do it.
I'm going to go with it.
You're going over.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Okay. The Pacers play no defense. They don't even want to defend. They just want to get the ball and go down the court and try and score themselves. But I'm going to just play the odds here. 36.5 is a ton of points. So I'm going to go under.
All right.
Into the NHL we go. Game one between the Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers.
And the Boston Bruins. Okay. Eastern Conference semifinals. Now, last year, Boston had the historic regular season and then was ousted by Florida in the first round. And Florida went all the way to the finals.
That's right. Yeah, okay. I remember
this year, Florida's the top seed.
Wow.
So they're at home. They're favored by 1.5 over Boston. Bruins need some redemption. I'll take Boston plus the 1.5 tonight. How about you?
I've always found it weird that the Florida Panthers are in Miami, so I'm going to choose Boston.
Why? No, okay.
Because
what do you find weird about that?
Just
where should they be?
Hockey in Miami.
Where should
is
the Florida Panthers be? In Delaware? I mean, Miami's probably where they should be.
Are
there's
there
already a team in Tampa Bay.
Are there Panthers in Miami?
I don't know. Are there Lakers in Los Angeles?
There's lakes in Los Angeles,
yeah,
but
not
as
many as where they originated.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Boston.
You got it. All right. Walker Buehler makes his season debut for the Dodgers tonight. He hasn't pitched in almost 2 years. His over-under for strikeouts is 5.5.
Oh, my gosh.
As the Dodgers host the Marlins.
Does he have a pitch count? I would assume he has a pitch count.
I don't know. Scrape, your bet.
I'm going to go under. I don't think he's going to... They're not going to let him go like 8 innings.
Under really does seem like the play here. I mean, Walker Buehler gets a lot of strikeouts. The guy's been pitching 2 years.
Yeah.
Can't possibly throw more than 80 pitches.
Yeah.
Padres, there's a lot of love for Yu Darvish on this line.
Really?
Darvish and the Padres are 1.5 run favorites in Chicago tonight.
That is friendly over the Cubs. To the Padres.
I don't get that.
Justin Steele, maybe because Justin he's Steele's making a been, start off
yeah,
the IL.
But he's been really good. He was last year.
Well, he hurt his hamstring fielding a ball on opening day.
All right, you've been all over him for that. I'm going to take the Cubs. That makes more sense to me, honestly. Padres have been good on the road, but I can't give a run and a half to the Cubs, who have a better record than the Padres do.
I got to think that Justin Steele's not going to pitch well tonight, and the Padres are going to win by 2.
Okay. There's our bets for tonight. We'll keep an eye on those. We'll keep an eye on Scraby's parlay. And now we'll give you the chance to win those tickets to see the San Diego Legion take on the New England Free Jacks. It is big-time rugby at Snapdragon Stadium, May 19th. Tickets on sale now at SDLegion.com. This is a rematch of last year's championship game, the Super Bowl of rugby.
Okay.
It was these two teams. They're replaying it here.
All right.
On May 19th, you can go. First person with the correct answer to this question, 833-288-0973, gets the tickets. Who was on deck when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard round the world? Who was on deck when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard round the world? First thing you need to know is what the shot heard round the world is.
I didn't even know.
And then secondly, you'll have to guess who was on deck.
I actually know this one.
Very good. If you know out there, call in 833-288-0973. Go enjoy some rugby. First, let's check some traffic. Hey, kudos to Dale out there. Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Ello, Tony Gwynn Jr. in Chicago. Matt Scraby here, Odyssey Palace Studios. Dale, all over it with the that was a gimme, I think, on the trivia question. Even you said you knew that one.
Yes.
Most people know that the on-deck hitter when Bobby Thompson hit his famous shot heard round the world, maybe the most famous home run ever hit, won the Giants the pennant. I believe the announcer said
the
Giants win the pennant. Russ Hodges was the broadcaster. The on-deck hitter was Willie Mays. And we bring that up because today, happy birthday to Willie Mays.
Nice job.
His 93rd birthday. Certainly the greatest living ball player of all time.
Yes.
Maybe the greatest ball player of all time. Maybe not just living. Is Willie Mays. So say hey, kid. Happy birthday, 93 today. A couple of things. We got time for a few more things here. Mentioned the NBA playoffs. The Ant-Man taking over for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Stanley Cup, we mentioned Vegas getting knocked out. So there'll be a new Stanley Cup champion this year. How about the Kentucky Derby over the weekend? About ready to rumble out onto the track myself after that.
Thank you for letting me. I've been very musical today.
Yes, you're good. Congrats to, I guess, the winner was Mystic Dan.
Oh, I love Mystic
Dan. We have a guy named Dan who works here in the office. And
he would, oh my gosh, his nickname is Mystic Dan.
No, it isn't.
It has to be now.
His nickname could be Mystic Dan now.
Yes.
But I know our Mystic Dan. He likes to make a wager from time to time. If he was ever gonna make one, Saturday would have been the day.
Yes.
To bet on his namesake.
Seriously.
Mystic Dan came in at, I think, 17-18-1 to win the Derby. I enjoyed it because, in one of the rare times, Scraby, I taped the coverage of the Derby and then ended up somehow hearing who won before I watched the race.
Oh, man. Did you throw something at
Normally,
your TV?
I would not be happy with that, but this was not a big deal to me. But I actually enjoyed knowing who won so I could watch the pre-race coverage on NBC.
All right.
They must have paraded 30 different experts out there on the on the telecast.
I know where this is going.
Not a single one of them even mentioned that Mystic Dan was in the race, let alone, you know, whether or not Mystic Dan would win.
You would think one of those experts would be like, hey, just I like this Mystic Dan.
Just by accident, somebody would mention it. But it was that horse's name never came up, not even a single time. And I just got a kick out of the fact that every single person who NBC introduced.
Do you like money?
I think about money a lot.
Do you like money without doing anything?
Winning.
Do you want to make money while watching sports?
I think Washington is a mortal lock.
Washington! Woohoo!
If you answered yes, this is your segment. Just don't blame us when you lose.
Well, nothing is ever your fault.
It's your game. Take it.
Gwen and Chris go through the top bets of the day in The Daily Gambit on 97.3 The Fan.
Daily Gambit is our daily sports betting segment here on Gwen and Chris. Please, everybody, gamble responsibly. I just looked in our fantasy baseball league. If Donovan Solano is already on a team, he is not, Chris, but he is on waivers. I don't see much reason to pick up Donovan Solano. Our league, I figured, would have picked him up on the day that he was
I don't think he's going to play enough to be a worthwhile fantasy player.
I get it. All right. Bets we made on Friday. The Orlando Magic and the Cleveland Cavaliers played. The Magic were 4-point favorites. Both of us chose the Cavs, and we lost. Magic won 103-96. I believe the Cavs closed it out yesterday, right?
Thrilling game seven. The Cavs were down 18 points in the second quarter of that game yesterday, came back to win by 12. It was the largest largest comeback victory in the history of NBA Game 7s.
Really?
Overcoming an 18-point deficit. So good for Cleveland.
Wow.
They now get to play the Celtics in the second round.
All right, that's not bad.
First time the Cavaliers have won a series in over 30 years without LeBron James on their team.
LeBron James.
Yeah.
Wow. That is pretty crazy, I gotta say. Donovan Mitchell.
Donovan Mitchell's all right.
The Dallas Mavericks also played on Friday night. They played the Clippers. They were 8-point favorites in the game. For some reason, I did not write down the score.
Dallas won to take the series, 114-103.
All right, so both of us lost that one, too.
Yes, we did. The Clippers really go out with a whimper. I know that they've got the excuse that Kawhi Leonard was hurt, but I don't know where James Harden was. I don't know where Paul George was. Paul George had like one good game in that series. And, you know, it's just the Clippers. They always find a way to make sure they don't get it done. And, you know, for them to just kind of whimper on out of the playoffs, you know, I wasn't expecting that. Maybe if they would have had Kawhi, it would have been a, you know, different story, but it wasn't that they lost. It was how they just kind of quietly went away.
That's the thing with the NBA is that you build these super teams and they get eliminated and you just don't really hear anything about it.
I don't know how many teams are going to go out of their way to get James Harden anymore.
That's what I'm saying.
Honestly, I mean, the guy's an MVP or former MVP.
Former.
But everywhere he's gone, the team has whimpered out of the playoffs.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
There's something with him.
Don't know what it is.
I don't know what it is.
Not a championship DNA.
We did a bet on who would score more points, Paolo Banchero or Donovan Mitchell on Friday night. And Paolo Banchero had a nice offering of 27 points, but Donovan Mitchell went crazy. We both picked Donovan Mitchell, and we were correct because he had 50 points, 5-0.
He was the first player in NBA regular season or playoff history to score all of his team's points in a quarter when the team scored more than 15 points.
Really?
Ever. It never happened before.
Does that say a lot for him, or does it say a lot about his team?
They lost the game, so The rest of the guys just completely went away in the fourth quarter. He scored all of their points, and it wasn't enough.
That's crazy.
In that particular game.
Then the Braves and the Dodgers played on Friday night. The Braves were -1.5 on the run line. We both chose the Dodgers. Dodgers did win 4-3, and Dodgers swept the Braves over the weekend.
Yes, a statement made by the Dodgers as they sweep away the Braves. I think it's pretty clear, even if it was clear already, that the Padres are playing for a wild card berth. And the Dodgers are just making sure that we are aware of that.
I don't know.
Still think we could win this division?
The Dodgers looked good at times. Like, they've looked really bad at times.
Really?
Well, maybe not really bad, but they've lost some games that they normally win.
They've lost some games. I mean, they've got, you know, they've got the second best record in the National League right now.
What is it?
They're 23-13. They're a plus 63 run differential. That's the best in all of baseball.
Okay. All right.
I'm sorry to tell you, they're doing Dodger things, and Walker Buehler returns to the rotation tonight.
All right. I was trying to make it better than it was, and I can't.
I would love to believe that the Padres have a shot, but they don't. You know, realistically have one.
Yeah, I know. Sorry. Well, wild card, here we come.
Yeah.
Golden Knights and the Dallas Stars on Friday night, -1.5 on the puck line. Chris chose the Knights, I chose the Stars, and the Knights won 2-0.
But they were eliminated yesterday, were the Vegas Golden Knights. Stars won in Game 7. So there will be a new Stanley Cup champion as the Vegas Golden Knights will have to vacate the throne. They are out of the postseason.
People are saying they love my optimism, but I'm delusional.
Yeah, it's fair to have the optimism. You know, look, the Dodgers are coming in here this weekend for a 3-game series.
They could take it.
The Padres sweep all three.
Yeah, Padres
And then you say, hey, but you know, when's the last time the Padres swept three from the Dodgers? I'll tell you when it was.
1982?
Games 2, 3, and 4 of the playoffs.
Oh, there you go.
A few years ago. That's
those
the
are
last
important
time they
ones,
swept
though.
Them. That's right.
Reminder to stay tuned for the EcoWater SoCal Padres pregame show with Sam Levitt next on 97.3 The Fan. That comes up at 3:40. I have one parlay today, and it's a massive payout. That's why I'm doing it. It's a doozy. Plus 2,400.
Oh, my goodness.
Now, I know that Jake Cronenworth has not been good against lefties this year. But the first leg is that the Padres win on the money line. So
Padres
if they don't win, this bet doesn't win.
Okay.
And then I have Luis Arraez getting at least 2 hits, so over 1.5, which is going to be tough. I mean, he did have 4 the other day. Mm-hmm. And then 1 Jake Cronenworth home run in the game.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, this is, I told you, the payout is great. I can see these things happening, but all of them happening together is tough.
All right. Well, good luck to you. You don't win too many parlays.
No, but I looked at this one for a long time.
All right. Maybe you'll do better on some of our regular bets. The NBA playoffs round 2 continues tonight. The Knicks and the Pacers. Game 1 is in New York, where the Knickerbockers are 5.5-point favorites over Indiana. How do you like this series to start tonight, Scrabe?
You know, this is tough because I know nothing about either of these teams, although Jalen Brunson's very good. I'm going to go with the Knicks.
Going to go with the New York Knickerbockers.
You guys have been talking trash about the Pacers all playoffs. So.
Well, I'm not going to talk trash about the Pacers. They did get to the finals of the in-season tournament, but I think they got a little lucky break. Let's be honest. The Bucks didn't have Antetokounmpo and or Lillard for that first-round series.
True.
This is a different animal. The Knicks are playing very well. 5.5's a lot because the Knicks play close games, but I'll stick with the Knicks in this one.
Okay.
We've also got game 2 in Denver, where the Nuggets are 6.5-point favorites over the Timberwolves. Here's a game note for you. People that, keep tabs of such things, Rudy Gobert is questionable for this game tonight. He his wife has given birth to their first child.
Oh, good thing I didn't make my...
So the baby boy was delivered this morning. It's uncertain whether Gobert will get to Denver in time for this game tonight.
Get there, Gobert.
Well, it's
a pretty big deal.
It's a pretty big deal. He's a pretty important part of the Timberwolves, but he's not as important as Anthony Edwards. I keep telling you how good this guy is. Game 1 was just another vote for the Anthony Edwards stardom train. 43 points to lead the T-Wolves to a Game 1 victory.
I love Kermit.
In Denver.
Love Kermit.
You like, is that what they call him?
Well, Kermit? In the movie.
Oh, he was Kermit in that movie. Yeah, they call him the Ant-Man now.
Oh, they call him the Ant-Man.
Yeah,
okay.
Anthony Edwards, Ant-Man. A-N-T for Anthony.
Yes,
Ant-Man.
I get it.
All right,
that,
good. Yeah. Anyway, who do you like game two? I like Denver this time. I like the T-Wolves overall, but Denver's a defending champion. They have to win game two and even the series. And if Gobert doesn't play, then Jokic runs crazy
out
there.
I'm going to say Ant-Man.
You're going to stick with the Ant-Man.
I'm going to take Ant-Man to the
Ant-Man's
bank.
Ant-Man's been amazing. Yeah. He's really been good. All right, you mentioned Jalen Brunson. You will not believe what his over-under is for tonight's game one for the Knicks.
35.5.
36.5.
Whoa, I was over, I thought.
That is a ton for any player in any NBA game.
That is a lot.
36.5. You going over or under? He's been over 40 in the last three games. This still seems a lot. I don't know if I could do it.
I'm going to go with it.
You're going over.
Yeah, I can see it happening.
Okay. The Pacers play no defense. They don't even want to defend. They just want to get the ball and go down the court and try and score themselves. But I'm going to just play the odds here. 36.5 is a ton of points. So I'm going to go under.
All right.
Into the NHL we go. Game one between the Florida Panthers.
Florida Panthers.
And the Boston Bruins. Okay. Eastern Conference semifinals. Now, last year, Boston had the historic regular season and then was ousted by Florida in the first round. And Florida went all the way to the finals.
That's right. Yeah, okay. I remember
this year,
now.
Florida's the top seed.
Wow.
So they're at home. They're favored by 1.5 over Boston. Bruins need some redemption. I'll take Boston plus 1.5 tonight. How about you?
I've always found it weird that the Florida Panthers are in Miami, so I'm going to choose Boston.
What? No, okay.
Because
what do you find weird about that?
I just
where should they be?
Hockey in Miami.
Where should
is
the Florida Panthers be? In Delaware? I mean, Miami's probably where they should be.
Are
there's
there
already a team in
Miami?
Tampa Bay.
Are there Panthers in Miami?
I don't know. Are there Lakers in Los Angeles?
There's lakes in Los Angeles,
yeah,
but
not
as
many as where they originated.
Yeah. So I'm going to go with Boston.
You got it. All right. Walker Buehler makes his season debut for the Dodgers tonight. He hasn't pitched in almost 2 years. His over-under for strikeouts is 5.5.
Oh, my gosh.
As the Dodgers host the Marlins.
Does he have a pitch count? I would assume he has a pitch count.
I don't know. Scrape, you're better.
I'm going to go under. I don't think he's going to... They're not going to let him go, like, 8 innings.
Under really does seem like the play here. I mean, Walker Buehler gets a lot of strikeouts. The guy's been pitching 2 years.
Yeah.
Can't possibly throw more than 80 pitches.
Yeah.
Padres... There's a lot of love for you, Darvish, on this line.
Really?
Darvish and the Padres are 1.5 run favorites in Chicago tonight.
That is friendly
over the Cubs.
To the Padres.
I don't get that.
Justin Steele, maybe
Justin
because
Steele's
he's making a
been,
start off
yeah,
the IL.
But he's been really good. He was last year.
Well, he hurt his hamstring fielding a ball on opening day.
All right, you've been all over him for that. I'm going to take the Cubs. That makes more sense to me, honestly. Padres have been good on the road, but I can't give 1.5 to the Cubs, who have a better record than the Padres do.
I got to think that Justin Steele's not going to pitch well tonight, and the Padres are going to win by 2.
Okay. There's our bets for tonight. We'll keep an eye on those. We'll keep an eye on Scraby's parlay. And now we'll give you the chance to win those tickets to see the San Diego Legion take on the New England Free Jacks. It is big-time rugby at Snapdragon Stadium, May 19th. Tickets on sale now. At SDLegion.com. This is a rematch of last year's championship game, the Super Bowl of rugby.
Okay.
It was these two teams. They're replaying it here.
All right.
On May 19th, you can go. First person with the correct answer to this question, 833-288-0973, gets the tickets. Who was on deck when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard round the world? Who was on deck when Bobby Thompson hit the shot heard round the world? First thing you need to know is what the shot heard round the world is.
I didn't even know.
And
that.
Then secondly, you'll have to guess who was on deck.
I actually know this one.
Very good. If you know out there, call in 833-288-0973. Go enjoy some rugby. First, let's check some traffic.
Hey, kudos to Dale out there.
Welcome back to Gwynn and Chris. Chris Hello. Tony Gwynn Jr. in Chicago. Matt Scraby here. Odyssey Palace Studios. Dale, all over it with the, that was a gimme, I think, on the trivia question. Even you said you knew that one.
Yes.
Most people know that the on-deck hitter when Bobby Thompson hit his famous shot heard round the world, maybe the most famous home run ever hit, won the Giants the pennant. I believe the announcer said
the
Giants win the pennant. Russ Hodges was the broadcaster. The on-deck hitter was Willie Mays. And we bring that up because today, happy birthday to Willie Mays.
Nice job.
His 93rd birthday. Certainly the greatest living ball player of all time.
Yes.
Maybe the greatest ball player of all time. Maybe not just living. Is Willie Mays. So say hey, kid. Happy birthday, 93 today. A couple of things. We got time for a few more things here. Mentioned the NBA playoffs. The Ant-Man taking over for the Minnesota Timberwolves. Stanley Cup, we mentioned Vegas getting knocked out. So there'll be a new Stanley Cup champion this year. How about the Kentucky Derby over the weekend? About ready to rumble out onto the track myself after that.
Thank you for letting me. I've been very musical today.
Yes, you're good. Congrats to, I guess, the winner was Mystic Dan.
Oh, I love Mystic Dan.
We have a guy named Dan who works here in the office. And
he would, oh my gosh, his nickname is Mystic Dan.
No, it isn't.
It has to be now.
His nickname could be Mystic Dan now.
Yes.
But I know our Mystic Dan. He likes to make a wager from time to time. If he was ever gonna make one, Saturday would have been the day.
Yes.
To bet on his namesake.
Seriously.
Mystic Dan came in at, I think, 17-18-1 to win the Derby. I enjoyed it because in one of the rare times, Scraby, I taped the coverage of the Derby and then ended up somehow hearing who won before I watched the race.
Oh, man. Did you throw something at
Normally,
your TV?
I would not be happy with that, but this was not a big deal to me. But I actually enjoyed knowing who won so I could watch the pre-race coverage on NBC.
All right.
They must have paraded 30 different experts out there on the the telecast.
I know where this is going.
Not a single one of them even mentioned that Mystic Dan was in the race, let alone, you know, whether or not Mystic Dan would win.
You would think one of those experts would be like, hey, just I like this Mystic Dan.
Just by accident, somebody would mention it. But it was that horse's name never came up, not even a single time. And I just got a kick out of the fact that every single person who NBC introduced this guy and that guy's strategy and this celebrity and that horse person and that longtime Derby follower, and every single one of them was just flat out wrong.
They weren't
even close because they didn't even say, like, you know, in a perfect world, in an upset, maybe Mystic Dan. Like, nobody even said that.
You know, in somewhere in a sports book, there's a guy going, you guys should really bet on Mystic Dan. I'm telling Mystic Dan is going
to
win.
Somebody had to bet on him. He was 17-1.
If he was
150-1, then I can understand nobody picked him.
But disrespect shown to Mystic Dan.
Mystic Dan was disrespected, and I will tell you this, if you're a horseman or a fan of
horseman.
Horseman. That's what they call people who deal with the work in the race game.
Okay, sorry. Horseman.
If you're a horseman or you're just a rail bird, you follow the races, one thing is still true in horse racing. The shortest distance around the track is along the rail. And if you watch the Kentucky Derby, Mystic Dan ran the entire race on the rail. He never came off the rail, went all the way around, and he ends up winning by a fraction of an eyelash.
I actually have the call if you want to hear the little bit of it.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind hearing it, but just to tell you, he won by a fraction of an eyelash, and I guarantee the horses that came in second and third had to run a lot farther distance
because he ran the rail. They had to run outside.
Why is there? So, oh, I guess because he got the rail. Yeah.
I mean, give his jockey credit. His jockey got him on the rail at the beginning. He never left the rail. He found a little opening on the final turn right along the inside there. And Mystic Dan needed every step to win this race. All right, let's hear the end for fun.
Yeah, this is
Kentucky Derby
down the
call.
Speed, or down the straightaway.
Down the stretch.
Final 16th, Forever Young, Sierra Leone is coming. These three coming down to the wire. Who's it going to be? Oh, it's a photo of the Derby. Was it Mystic Dan? Or was
a photo finish in horse racing beats out a photo finish in car racing? Because these are actual live things that are racing.
This was a photo finish. I will say this. When I watch a race now, this time again, I said ahead of time. Had I not known who won, this would have been one of the rare photo finishes where it really was kind of difficult to tell. That's how close it was. A lot of times they say photo finish just to make it a little more dramatic.
Yeah, yeah.
But we all know who won. This was really, really close, and he won it by a fraction of a fingernail. So good Kentucky Derby this year. And then word comes today, which is bad news for horse racing. They don't know whether Mystic Dan's going to run in the Preakness or not. And, you know.
Why? I mean,
well, hurt? The horses don't recover that well anymore. I mean, it's a 2-week gap. You got to be able to come back, bounce back, travel. And, you know, it used to just be automatic. You went for the Triple Crown. Now they're more concerned about the health of these animals.
Well, that's a good thing.
Which is a good thing. But it's bad for the sport because we want to see somebody try to make a run at
Mystic Dan's not going for it.
Triple Derby, you never know. Mystic Dan, let's put it this way. He's the only one who can win the Triple Crown now.
It's true, he is.
Nobody else can win it.
I saw a ton of Kentucky Derby coverage. It seems like the coverage of the Kentucky Derby gets bigger and bigger every year.
It gets bigger and bigger, and the race in American society gets lesser and lesser.
That's the
unfortunately.
Thing. Because I remember.
When I was a little kid, man.
It was a TV event.
Biggest thing ever. You definitely watched it, and you knew who won it.
Yeah.
Now a lot of people, you really wouldn't even know.
I honestly, the only reason I knew is because my phone popped up saying that the race has begun because there's a lot of coverage just for one minute and a half.
Like I said, they trotted everybody and their grandmother out there to pick the race on NBC. None of them said Mystic Dan. Final thing of the day before we get to Sam Levitt's pregame show. Do you know, without looking, don't look, who has the best record in Major League Baseball right now?
Ooh, is it the Royals?
It is not. It is not the Kansas City Royals. I'll give
Phillies?
You another guess. It is the Philadelphia Phillies. All of a sudden, they've won 6 in a row. They've won 10 in a row at home. They polished off a sweep of the San Francisco Giants just a few moments ago, defeating the Gigantes.
Is that a 4-game sweep?
6-1. Yes, a 4-game sweep. Which knocks the Giants way down 2.5 games behind the Padres in the NL West. But the Phillies, 25-11 record, best in baseball right now. Bryce Harper hit another 3-run homer, second day in a row.
Yeah.
And Kyle Schwarber clobbered one off the foul pole in the 8th inning. I thought it was going to knock over the stadium.
Me too.
When he hits one like that, it's just, like, not fair.
No, he just hits it out of the stadium.
Way out there. I mean, it wasn't at the bottom of the foul pole. It was, like, at the very top of the foul pole.
They had to go to replay. It was the whole thing.
They had to go to replay because they couldn't believe anybody could hit a ball that far.
That's true.
So Philadelphia wins 6-1. Zach Wheeler was the winning pitcher there. Giants are a scuffling. So they fall a little further in the NL West. Padres begin play 5.5 behind the Dodgers. Padres are actually now a half game behind, you would never guess, for the final playoff spot, where the playoffs will start today. Who, not the Padres, but who would have the 6th and last playoff spot right now?
Ooh, would it be?
That's a tough one.
That is a really
tough one. I'll give you the way it sets. The Phillies, the Brewers, and the Dodgers would be division champs right now.
Okay.
The Cubs and Braves would be wild cards.
Okay.
Who would be the 3rd and last wild card right now, this minute?
It can't be the Diamondbacks.
It's not the Diamondbacks. They're behind the Padres, actually.
Is it the...
Oh, my gosh.
I don't think you'll guess it. Like, I think I'll give you five guesses. I don't think you'll get it.
The Mets?
Nope. It's
who?
Not the Mets. You've taken two guesses. You want to try three more?
No, because I forgot we're supposed to get out of here.
The Washington Nationals.
Oh, wow.
Are currently
Tell people that, Chris.
I know. They'll get all upset.
CJ Abrams.
I know. They'll get all upset at the Soto trade. The Nationals are 17-17. They're a half game better than the Padres. Padres will try to rectify that tonight, taking on the Cubs. Sam Levitt's pregame show. He'll explain why Manny Machado's not in the lineup tonight. The latest on Joe Musgrove going on the injured list. More on Luis Arraez's arrival. We'll be back with another short show tomorrow. Don't miss it at 2 o'clock. For Scraby and Tony Crisello, enjoy Monday Night Baseball.
Bye.
Coming your way next.